The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Movers and Shakers, 8 Black Women to Watch in Corporate America. These high-powered executives are rising through the ranks at some of the nation's leading corporations, and they're doing it with style and grace. Being a black woman in corporate America comes with many challenges. Besides earning about 63 cents to every dollar earned by white men, black women also have to face racism and gender discrimination, and the microaggressions that come with both. Worse, such obstacles are often compounded by other institutional barriers, which can make it even harder to climb the corporate ladder. A 2020 survey by CNBC reported that among the 37 women who led Fortune 500 companies that year, none were Black or Latinx. And of those women who managed to ascend to the C-suite ranks in 2019, just 1% were Black. Despite the hurdles, Black women are staying in the game and doing the job with excellence. So much so that this year, 2 Fortune 500 companies are now being helmed by Black women for the first time. As they navigate the ups and downs of company culture, Black women are helping to bring in bank and wielding their Black girl magic to chart their own destiny. Get advice from 8 performance leaders who are ascending in corporate America by not letting anything stop them along the way. Jasmine Allen, Senior Vice President, Hennessy, USA. Allen's resume is almost as impressive as she is. Almost. She joined Moët Hennessy in early July 2016 as Brand Director of Belvedere Vodka, following nearly 7 years at Coca-Cola Company and a year as Head of Entertainment Marketing at T-Mobile. Her success in raising awareness of Belvedere led to her promotion to Vice President of Moët and Chandon U.S. Her position with Hennessy USA followed in 2019. Trust what feels right for you and believe in the choices you make, even if those choices are unpopular, she says. Michelle Brown, Vice President of Digital Products and Analytics, United Airlines. With air travel profoundly changed by the pandemic, Brown's leadership has been a driving force behind many innovative solutions United Airlines has provided to customers. Brown works closely with airlines' commercial teams and oversees the P&L for United's ancillary business. One of the ways representation changes is when we as Black women help each other understand the complexities of how to prepare for and navigate the corporate world, she says. More importantly, we have to cheer and advocate for one another. Latrice Watkins, Executive Vice President, Consumables, Walmart U.S. Watkins has worked for Walmart for a remarkable 20 plus years, first joining as an intern. Her contributions to the business led to a promotion to Executive Vice President of the Walmart U.S. Consumables Division, leading all merchandising strategies for the company's baby, beauty, household chemicals, household paper, OTC pharmacy, personal care, and pets business. Today, a majority of items on every American household shopping list fall in her portfolio. I don't rest on previous success. I actively challenge myself to elevate, she says. At the end of each year, since I started working, I set a new challenge. LaToya Drake, Head of Media Representation, Google. Drake leads the internet search engine's efforts to create a more more inclusive and equitable media ecosystem. To Black women occupying spaces where we are often the only, I say, we don't have to keep struggling anymore, Drake asserts. Let go of thinking that you have to do it alone and learn how to ask for help from the right sponsors who can get you access to the rooms and resources you need to elevate. Before her current position at Google, she was global outreach lead and a founding member of the Google News Initiative, GNI. Lamia Jenkins Thompson, Global Head of Communications, Pinterest, helming prior roles at Fortune 500 companies such as Walmart and serving on Capitol Hill for U.S. Representatives Brenda Lawrence, Sheila Jackson Lee, and Marcia Fudge. Thompson has created a career marked by a commitment to excellence, equality, and a desire to help others. As Global Head of Communications at Pinterest, she's made it her mission to shape the brand's reputation as a safe corner for millions of users striving to create a life they love. Based on my unique background in retail, politics, and entertainment, I have a unique perspective to offer to the tech world and have found my power by honing in on that. Ingrid Best, Executive Vice President, Head of Global Marketing, Spirits Homes Enterprises. Best leads a team that consists entirely of women of color who top the Spirits portfolio for hip-hop mogul Sean Combs. Recognize your power and believe in yourself, she says. If you don't, you cannot create your own lane. She was recruited by Combs Enterprises in 2020 and less than a year later promoted to her current position as the Executive Vice President of Global Marketing. Spirits. Her noteworthy Spirits career has included work at Diageo, where she launched a high-end rum brand, over 5 years at LVMH, working on Hennessy and Belvedere, and a stint with DUCI as brand director at Bacardi. J. Nwando Oleiwola, MD, MPH, FAAFP, Chief Health Equity Officer, and Senior VP, Humana. Oleiwola is a family physician and executive with Humana, Inc., a role she assumed in April 2021. Oleiwola's work has long focused on addressing the impact of racism and other drivers of health on minority and underserved populations, and she previously served as chair and professor at the Ohio State University Department of Family and Community Medicine. Her expertise has been especially needed during the pandemic, when healthcare disparities for communities of color have been amplified. Don't lose who you are as you climb the ladder, she advises. You are where you are because of who you are, uniquely, she says. Adding, I also advise to open doors for other Black women and send the elevator down to bring others up when they get to the top. Kiara Lynn Johnson, VP and Chief Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Officer, Delta Airlines. Rising in the ranks from customer service agent, Johnson started her career at Delta Airlines over 20 years ago and is a testament to the value of hard work and perseverance. Now she is charged with leading the company and modeling a comprehensive diversity, equity, and inclusion strategy with programs, initiatives, and action plans that offer support to Delta employees and customers as well as the community. I encourage women to do more than simply learn the game or play by the rules, she says. Instead, I encourage them to rewrite the rules and, if necessary, change the game. The next article is titled, The Cost of Essential Work. Black women share the challenges, and fight for protections amid a pandemic that has made their work and lives even more precarious. On any given day, Deatrick Eddy is at one of her three jobs managing fast food establishments. A 42-year-old mother of four, she has been working in the service industry since she was 16, starting at Papa John's and later adding McDonald's and Wendy's to her workday. The routine seems unfathomable, but with salaries respectively of nearly $10, $8.65, the current minimum wage in Florida, and $11, she cannot take care of her family on one job. Clocking in full shifts at each job, Eddy barely has time to sleep or see her children, who are all in their teens and 20s, or her 7-month-old grandchild. She catches as much rest as she can during mandated breaks and by sneaking furtive naps in the bathroom. My whole life is dedicated to working. Her jobs are all run by franchise owners who have not offered her paid sick leave. They have also actively maneuvered to eliminate as many opportunities for overtime as possible, having to take unpaid time off from June to August after a COVID infection, a leave she was forced to cut short in order to keep her McDonald's job. She is now fighting an eviction notice. My children and I once lived in my car for a year and a half, maybe longer than that, she says. I don't want to have to go through that again. In 2019, one of her sons encouraged her to get involved in the fight for $15, which organizes workers locally and nationally to increase the federal minimum wage. Since then, she has advocated in the streets and door to door to raise support for a livable wage and safe working conditions. These needs only became more critical as the pandemic worsened. Masks and other personal protective equipment, PPE, were in limited supply. Not only were co-workers clocking in with positive COVID diagnoses, but customers were becoming increasingly hostile to CDC regulations. Eddy recalls a particularly traumatic moment when a white customer refused to wear a mask, instead throwing a drink and hurling racial epithets at her. That was scary, she says, still shaken. He filmed the whole thing on camera. That moment right there, I was so close to quitting. Tragically, Eddy's circumstances are not an anomaly. Black workers occupy 13% of all jobs. They account for about 19% of essential jobs that pay less than $16.54 an hour. On average, Black women in jobs that are critical to the nation's COVID-19 recovery, from healthcare to service careers, make 11 to 27% less than white men in those same jobs. Black people have also had a disproportionately higher risk of exposure to COVID-19 given their prevalence in essential worker positions. Many fast food and drive-through services proved to be a lifeline for middle-class professionals who were working from home during the pandemic. At one point, these franchises represented 42% of all restaurant revenue. Employees in these fast food franchises across the country demanded better treatment and pay as they put their lives on the line to keep an industry afloat. They said that Black lives matter. Things could change. Eddy remembers, but they're still not protecting us. The health and economic security of Black workers, our voices, are still not being heard. Despite being publicly lauded for for their essential work, fast food and food delivery employees have had to continue to organize for hard fought and often elusive victories. But the food industry is far from the only one staying afloat at the expense of its working class employees. The use of prison labor to provide goods and services has increased in the pandemic, with the incarcerated paid less than $2 an hour to create food items and hand sanitizer, while infection rates skyrocketed in jails and prisons. And Amazon employees nationwide have rung the alarm on the increasingly arduous work expectations in its fulfillment centers as shipments skyrocketed in the past year, creating record earnings for the company at the expense of worker safety and quality of life. The pandemic may have heightened economic insecurity and career instability, but the foundation for these conditions are not new. They have long been enmeshed in the fabric of America's capitalistic development, from antebellum plantation slavery to corporations' unprecedented profits over the past year. America's growth has often been at the expense of Black workers, who continue to be overrepresented in unpaid and low-wage jobs. For example, 31% of Amazon's lowest-paid workforce, its warehouse workers, and call center representatives are Black. Despite our being just 13% of the country's population, the company recently touted a raise for its warehouse workers of 50 cents to $3 an hour. Meanwhile, during the pandemic, their CEO's wealth skyrocketed 60% to $177 billion and counting. By conservative estimates, Jeff Bezos makes more in an hour than one of his warehouse workers could earn in a millennium. With much of the nation's white-collar workforce suddenly working from home, domestic workers and cleaning services bore much of the brunt of the economic fallout. A joint report from the Institute for Policy Studies and the National Domestic Workers Alliance stated that Black immigrant domestic workers are at the epicenter of three converging storms: the pandemic, the resulting economic depression, and structural racism. Intersectional identities such as Black immigrant women and low-wage employee make these essential workers the most invisible and vulnerable workers in our country. Indeed, 70% of the Black immigrant domestic workers surveyed either lost their jobs or received reduced hours and pay because of the pandemic. To make matters worse, domestic workers are often treated as independent contractors, making them ineligible for unemployment benefits, despite the fact that they lack standard protections against sexual harassment and worker intimidation. Now, with the moratorium on evictions having expired, they endure the looming threat of housing insecurity, as well as a national resurgence of COVID-19 among unvaccinated populations. And one of the grimmer scandals to come out of the pandemic, New York State's gubernatorial office, led by Andrew Cuomo, revealed it had underreported nursing home deaths by almost 50%, putting hospice and nursing home staff at extreme risk of COVID infection alongside the immunocompromised residents under their care. "Look at the history of domestic work," says Celeste Faison, NDWA's director of campaigns. Most black folks have a grandmother or an auntie that did domestic work, and that profession goes all the way back to slavery. It was enslaved Africans who worked in the house to maintain the master's family, from being wet nurses to doing all the cleaning and cooking. This legacy was reflected in the National Labor Relations Act of 1935, which took pains to exclude agricultural and domestic work industries with high rates of black workers, an action that academics largely perceive to have reinforced segregation. Black people were sacrificed in order for white folks to unionize, and we were left out of the basic worker protections like minimum wage, paid leave, insurance, Faison states. Melissa, a 38-year-old home care worker and nanny in Miami, has actually felt the effects of the pandemic in her city, where 83% of black domestic workers surveyed have been terminated. A Haitian immigrant and temporary protected status recipient, she used her pay to help provide for both her young child in the United States and her mother back in Haiti. It was a long and painful year for me, she says. I was let go without severance, with no plan B to take care of my 7-year-old son. Services like the NDWA's Coronavirus Care Fund helped keep her afloat as she looked for employment and reckoned with the troubling reality that her field of work made her vulnerable. I love what I am doing, and I'm doing it with my heart, and I'm doing it with dignity, Melissa asserts. We are fighting to have a good wage and health coverage, but it is a lot because we are not considered as deserving of these benefits. I'm not as valued as I should be. Kiana Barrow experienced similar instability as a subcontractor for a major airline in Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport, assigned to clean planes between flights. A current member of the Georgia chapter of 9to5, a national association of working women, she felt the distinct disparities in how her team was treated compared to other airline staff, from salary differentials to the lack of benefits, and all this at a time when COVID-19 protocols demanded more rigorous attention to how aircrafts were being cleaned. We were paid $9.25 an hour, and then if you became a team leader, you would get a dollar more, Barrow shares. People perceive Atlanta as a place where you can get more value for your dollar, but even here, prices are going up. So if $10.25 was living wage a year ago, which it wasn't, right now it's much worse. For many of Barrow's co-workers, however, that paltry pay check was the only source of income for their households. And as flights were canceled, workers were sent home early, furloughed, or dismissed altogether, with employees relying on management to reaffirm their unemployment eligibility weekly. Unionizing interest began to stir among both longer-term workers to recent hires. The momentum was short-lived, however, as people feared retaliation for their organizing efforts. People started to call in those organizations to management, and the bonds you thought you had started to fall apart, Barrow says. Over the last year, the various movements to protect black lives that were sparked by black people being killed by law enforcement expanded from discussions about surviving state violence to promises of workplace equity across the board. Most of those commitments, however, focus on middle class, white collar positions in professional sectors such as media, and entertainment. There was some deserved acknowledgement of the Herculean efforts of healthcare workers in the face of instability and fear. But other working class people who fought for acknowledgement were left in the margins. The increasing collective efforts toward recognition are at the mercy of political perceptions about the necessity and value of unskilled labor jobs that also come with a high level of precarity, surveillance, and risk of retaliation from their employers. Workers like Eddie, however, remain unbowed. Along with the fight for $15, she participates in worker-led movements like the 2020 Strike for Black Lives to help show how the fights for racial, economic, health care, and immigration justice are interconnected. I always take my children and my grandson with me, she says. I want them to see what's going on in this world. For Eddie, this is not a fight she can afford to abandon. $15 an hour would allow her to go back to working just one job, giving her the time to reinvest in herself and her family and potentially take a vacation. I want to be able to take my grandson to Disney World, she remarked wistfully. Her sustainable routine has taken an understandable toll on her mental health, with limited resources available for her outside of medication. I don't know if I can ever get over the situation here, she says. No matter how many times I say I can do it, I feel like I'm lying to myself, but I'm going to keep saying it because I have to be strong and I have to look out for my children. With her two sons, now 19 and 25, that means trying to keep tabs on their whereabouts and managing her fear for their safety whenever she hears gunshots in the neighborhood. Her daughter Latrice was enrolled at Florida Atlantic University, but was forced to drop out when her financial assistance ran out. She is currently at home trying to figure out a path back to post-secondary education in a world that actively undermines her family's economic mobility. Despite the enormous challenges of her circumstances, Eddie remains determined to keep on keeping on. Fight for $15 has given her the momentum to fully engage the battle. This is my life. This is what I go through, she declares. If anyone is willing to help me up, hey, I'm here. I'm going to take the help. My story is real. My tears are real. The next article is titled Essence Festival of Culture, a virtual experience celebrating the resilience of our community after an unprecedented year. Hashtag Essence Fest presented a hybrid experience of dynamic content from interactive sessions with trailblazing leaders to star-studded evening concerts featuring some of the biggest names in music. Essence, Dear Black Men, a salute to the contributions of Black men who speak about their respective experiences as family men, community advocates, and leaders of this generation. Featuring conversations with Anthony Anderson, Jeezy, Jeff Johnson, and more about everything from wealth building to emotional and physical wellness. Essence X Versus Special Edition. We continue to give our brothers their flowers by partnering with Triller and Versus for an unforgettable battle performance by R&B legends Keith Sweat and Bobby Brown. Essence Beauty Carnival. Forced to redefine the expression of beauty for living in a pandemic-provoked virtual world, Beauty Carnival offered demos, advice, and presentations by industry leaders and top brands on fresh ways to care for and embrace yourself from the inside out. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.